Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, enjoy your lunch, and listen to some of the coolest things on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on With Insights Radio. We are your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Matheny, and I think Katie Singanio was home in bed, resting. Or I take that back. She's walking down our stairs, our steps there as she's coming in. So we want to welcome everybody to the show. We are live here in Columbus, Ohio, broadcasting all over the world and all over the universe on our internet services. So we're doing pretty good. Just want to welcome you. We have a chat room where you can actually leave some information there and chat with us. And then we also have a call-in number, which is 646-595-3440. And that's where you can call with, talk to us, share your thoughts with us, what's on your mind. So say, hey, come on in. Come on over. As we're hooking people up here on the...
Hey. Yeah, we're doing live hookups.
Live hookups.
So call in if you need hooked up.
Yeah.
George might want to hook up.
There you go.
Did you listen to yesterday?
We are home. We're all together now. We're all patched in.
All together now.
We're all patched in and we're ready to roll.
Hey.
Ready to roll.
Good afternoon.
What's going on with you?
I've been deathly ill the last 2.5 days, so... I'm going to blame any craziness that comes out of my mouth today on illness.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and believe me, there will be craziness that comes out of my mouth today. As
well,
if
welcome.
Today would be any exception.
Welcome, people in the chat room. You can type in your questions if you have any or comments. Please keep them PG-13.
PG-13.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Hey, folks. Howdy do. I've been kind of ill, too. So, yeah, I called in last night to the last night show.
Hi.
Are we on the air now?
We've been on the air.
Oh, yep. Okay.
We are on the air. We're floating around the universe.
Okay.
Going through all the bandwidths and all the wires, all the servers and non-servers, and computer to peer-to-peer since we're on Skype, so we're going computer to computer.
To grandmother's house we go.
Yes.
Yes.
The big bad wolf is listening to us.
Because... I got stopped by a city person, a city worker. So
a city worker?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I got some information for our leader once we get done with the show.
All right, cool.
Oh, probably the same city worker I talked to a couple weeks ago.
So I told him, don't do anything till you hear from somebody.
Right, I guess it's a mystery, huh?
Yeah, it has to do with our building, so
which building?
The restaurant.
Oh, the building?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was there to turn the electric off.
Oh, your house?
No.
Where?
At Garcia's.
Well, it's impossible with the bills are paid.
I know, but he said it's in nobody's name.
Right, because it's in the restaurant's name. It's not supposed to be in anybody's name.
Sick.
That's good to know. That's good to know. So
he gave me a number to give you all a call.
Okay.
All
right, cool.
To get it in somebody's name.
Not the same city worker I talked to a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I said, hold on, don't do anything. Tell you here. He said, no, I won't do anything.
You should just call my dad next time.
Yeah.
He's the one. I can't really do anything. It's on my dad, all his property.
Because I don't think I have his number in this phone I have. So that's why I said I need to talk to you. So you all out there kind of, you know, little things come up now and then, business things you take care of, and at least I stopped them from doing something today that wasn't that.
Yeah, my dad's still waiting for his check that he sent them for $700, and they don't know what happened to it, so it's floating around somewhere in the accounting.
Fantabulous.
I love our city.
I hate our city. Sorry. I love the people in the city.
Yeah.
I love
I've
Mark,
threatened
you,
to,
and...
I've threatened to run for mayor before, but...
Yeah.
I think we got a mayor for life right now.
Yeah, won't nobody run against him.
He's
yeah.
like Marion Barry or something.
I know. Yeah. I know. I know. I know.
He's got connections with the mafia, connections with the Democratic mafia and the Republican mafia and the independent mafia.
That's funny. Him and my dad went to school together. They went to high school together years ago. So.
Yeah, I remember when I ran for office, he was taking pictures. Everybody was taking pictures. And they wanted to take a picture with me. He turned around and went like this, acting like he didn't know me. So screw that guy.
Exactly.
Screw Coleman. I don't care.
Exactly.
Didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. He
raised my damn taxes. All those people.
I said we worked on some projects together, and he just did some good things for the southeast side of Columbus.
Oh, I know. He does good things for Short North, too. Nothing for our area.
Yeah, well, this our area, North Columbus, needs some big help, and especially anywhere between Hudson to Morse Road, or 161. 161 is really bad. Everything's closed up just about on Route 161.
I saw that, yes, because I headed out that way yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? You can't really blame necessarily the mayor, and per se, like I'm joking around. You got to blame the big companies that. Well, I guess I can blame city council and the mayor, because you know what? They're the ones that bring these people in to invest their money, and then when they think it's not a good deal anymore, they just bail.
Yeah.
You know, so they made a poor choice in business partner. The Jacobs Companies, for example, is one of the biggest, you know, Cleveland affiliates that was down in that area, in Northland Mall and all that area. And all that was their property. They probably still own it. And, you know, they went off and built other things that are more important. You know, they just destroy the infrastructure. It was because other people want to come in and get it for cheap, dirt cheap.
Right.
No one talks like that.
Yeah, once Easton was built, Northland Mall went south. So, and then they used that area to... they redid, vitalized that area by putting in government offices, the post.
Yeah, they put the taxation departments down there and all
those
things. There are some things that have come back.
Job and Family Services.
But that area will never be the same.
No.
It'll never be the same. And it was struggling even when it was in its prime, you know.
And then 161, that whole street, everything's closed up. All the old, it had gone to drugs and stuff, the
yeah.
old hotels and the.
Mm-hmm. Boy, this show's going really south real quick.
You know, yeah. So what I remember about that part of 161, what I remember that one part of 161 is the last Rax restaurant was there.
Mm.
I love Rax.
Yeah, there's still some nice little mom-pop restaurants, Chinese restaurant, different things that are holding on, Dollar General store. You know,
there's a Massey's out there, Best Pizza in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Ollie's is out there on 161 in Cleveland. That little shopping center is doing okay. It's called Consumers. I think it's called Consumer Square or something like that, because it's a lot of the immigrant population has taken over the little stores and stuff,
mm-hmm.
barber shops and little clothes shops and stuff like that out there. The African and Latin and some, you know, different immigrant populations have started their little stores out there. So
that's good. I mean, you'd like to see that, keep people empowered and keep them busy. That way they won't go off and riot in the streets like they did in Chicago.
And there's a really good restaurant out there. I think if it's still out there, it's called Nazareth Restaurant.
Yeah, I don't remember heard of it.
And it's more of a Middle Eastern, Mediterranean-ish style restaurant, and the food is good. I took my dad there before, so they have gyros and...
Oh, I love Mediterranean,
you know,
Turkish food.
Some good rice, spicy rice, and stuff of that... You know, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean-ish type of food.
Mediterranean-ish.
I'm a foodie, so. But, yeah, there's all kind of stuff going on right now, so. But, hey, we're smiling. We got to keep each other smiling and laughing and joking. And like I called in last night and kind of said hi, even though I wasn't feeling good, and let my other personality, Georgia, come out. She wanted something for Christmas, but
kind of looking to get your stocking stuffed.
She wanted to put a big red bow around a candy cane. So
one of the big all day candy canes.
So her personality. I got all kind of personalities because I'm multifaceted. Many sides. Except for they're all in one nice, large person. So, but what would y'all like to talk about today? What's going on in the stars? What does the stars show for the next few weeks?
Everything I have is very charged, so.
Charged up.
Charged. So, depends if you want to. That depends where you want to go. So, yeah, so I just booked a cheap vacation to Ferguson, Missouri. What do you think? Is that a good place to go for a vacation, you think?
You know, they closed the freeways down, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I don't know, because what happened there is the community really wanted to keep a peaceful demonstration, but people from the outside came in and started the violence. So I don't know how many outsiders are going to be welcome there for too long. And then a lot of the businesses and stuff were destroyed, little mom-and-pop shops that'll never recover from that. But I kind of see it as a bigger picture because when people are distracted, and there's an old saying that to divide and conquer, you got to work from the inside. You divide and conquer the people. You send people from the outside in to make it look like hometown folk. And then it's just like the people who really didn't want anything bad to happen, these outside people come in and do these bad things. And then it looks like, you know, so it's like somebody out there is trying to divide and conquer this country, one small town at a time. That's my theory on it, so I don't know.
I totally agree, and I will one-up that. In fact, they have recorded multiple people. You can find new, as long as you don't watch NBC, CBS, ABC, or Fox, or CNN, or any of those, you can actually find out what's going on there by getting on the internet, because there are tons of people who actually live there,
yeah.
Or there are actual reporters in there who actually report and not just spokespeople for the big corporations. And you can actually see what's going on in there. And they had filmed the last few months ago when it started bubbling up there. They had actually, people witnessed them bringing in busloads of people to, you know, they'd go out there and filter into the crowds. And those would be the people that would start, you know.
Start the mess.
That they would actually start all the shenanigans there. And then, too, we had, it's a complete circus when trying to follow it from the, because there's all kinds of other crazy things on it. We'd actually found someone's profile on LinkedIn a few months back that supposedly was working with the Ferguson Police Department, and it was the scariest LinkedIn profile that I've ever seen. It was all black ops, secret government stuff, and she the list of her credentials was all stuff to everywhere there had been some kind of, you know, mind control CIA, FBI crap where they try to overthrow stuff. And it was crazy. I almost thought it was a joke at first, but they filmed people, you know, them busting in people from other places, and they do this stuff all the time. They have to, and Katie's exactly right, they filter in people to these protest groups, and those are always the people. The ultimate example of this was the battle in Seattle, if you remember that. Back in the late 90s, there was the, I'm not awake, so I haven't had coffee. I think it was a Greenpeace or something was having a thing there. Oh, no, it was the World Trade Organization was having a meeting there. So there's the no WTO thing.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
I remember now, yes.
Yeah, and it started in all these riots. And this is an exact replay of that scenario. So there's documentaries out on that. So if you want to see the type of operation that's going on in Ferguson, you can search that.
So what kind of Seattle. People do they bring in? I mean, where do they find
people? Black,
do they put like a listing
Blackwater.
In?
Blackwater.
Do they hire
Blackwater,
hired employees, what you're saying?
Blackwater.
Yeah,
the government, these are, here. Here's the
they pay
scariest.
These people pay them good money to
hey,
come in.
Hey, go and riot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Convenient.
Right, and that moves their agenda forth. All these All these private contract companies. Right, exactly.
They want to start martial law. They want people to be divided because before all this started, one of the things that Ferguson had that needed to be changed is they had, it was an integrated town, mainly integrated. Everybody got along. Only problem that they really had was that there was more, they did have a majority of black people that lived in the town, and the majority of police force was white. And they needed that to be equalized some kind of way. And that was it. But everybody got along. Everybody was peaceful until, you know, and the one thing that set it off, and they used this kid because he did wrong in the first place. He went and stole some cigars from a convenience store. Something kids, he wasn't armed. He was with some other friends. They were just shoplifting. And then the store owner called the police. The police, they might have seen the cigars and assumed it was a gun or something, just like the other case where the guy saw the can of soda and he thought it was a weapon.
You remember that?
So it's just like they saw that and the young man got shot. Then it was just like the police are always getting on, you know, starting something, white policeman, black kid. So, and then you see I've seen all over the internet since August where white policemen are harassing black young men all the time. People keep posting it, you know, posting different things. I've seen it on different people's sites. So then that stirs up. You've got little things going around that stirs up the people. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you get these people hired in to go filter out into these different places. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go, you know, how about if I pay you a couple $1,000 to go, you know, infiltrate or something. I'm just, you know, this is just theorized on my part the way I see it. And then these people go in and do whatever, you know, because last night was supposed to be a peaceful demonstration if the verdict went the way it did. And a couple people started throwing water bottles, but the water bottles turned into someone threw a Molotov cocktail instead of a water bottle. And then the shot started firing. The police were already there. It looked like army troops.
Why would they give a verdict during the night? That's the stupidest thing you want to
do. Yeah,
because
they were waiting. They said they had been waiting since noon. The verdict was supposed to come out somewhere around noon, but they kept waiting and waiting. So I can see that's kind of a theory there. And that guy he's like the other people. He's going to have to go into hiding or something because his trial, he's already been tried and convicted by the people, not by the justice.
Well, his peers are going to find him, you know, innocent, so.
But the people of the other people.
Now the question is, who was on the jury? You know, you'd have to question that,
right?
I don't know who.
Because it's like in the other case with the young man who had the soda, that jury had to go into hiding for a while, and people didn't really speak out until months down the road, where they felt comfortable enough, and then some of them were even, you know, they had to press keep their identity a secret. So, you know what? You wonder what's going on. I see it as a bigger picture. I can see a bigger picture where divide and conquer this country from the inside, get the martial law going, get the Patriot Act in, you know, where government can come in and use the Patriot Act to its own people, and from then on. Our freedoms are slowly, slowly being taken away.
But they're obviously having a hard time doing it because Americans, we don't go down like that.
It's going to be maybe erupting. I hate to say, I hope we never erupt into civil war again.
We're too lazy.
I totally agree.
But that's my take.
I hate to be like that, but you know what? We're too damn lazy.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I have no reason to go shoot somebody else in the South.
Me either.
You know,
I don't want to shoot someone
in the West.
I stay away from violence of all
kinds.
Is
it that bad? What we ought to do is go to the source, go right to the politicians and go right to the bankers, go right to the people who are stealing all our freedoms, stealing all our rights, you know, bypass the other things. But, you know, we're too lazy and we're too dumb and we're too conditioned, you know. Those are harsh words that I'm saying, but we are. We're conditioned.
We fight
the wrong people.
I can make a very valid argument. The United States is the biggest mind control experiment in history,
mm-hmm.
and one that went very successfully.
Yeah, I believe so.
But even going back to the thing that happened in Seattle in 98 or 99 or whatever mm-hmm. it was, you know, they found the people who started the violence, not the pro, there was people there doing peaceful mm-hmm. protests, but they found the people who were actually doing the violent actions,
mm-hmm.
and they had set up, they were set up in a warehouse, the police knew where they were, the government knew where they were, they found the names of a couple of these people and tracked them down and found they worked for the government. And that's what the government, you know, just like all the crap that, you know, there was just a huge trial on Blackwater for, you know, they went and you know, acting in the name of the U.S. government, because we hired them.
Yeah, acting
they
in the
went
name
and slaughtered all those civilians in Afghanistan or Iraq. I forget. I'm not really awake yet. You know, a few years ago, and they found those, you know, those guys guilty, a lot of them. And it's that's what they, you know, they try to, you know, our people couldn't get away with that, so they have to contract out this stuff. And it's the same thing they've tried. There's been other incidents like this where they try to stir up the social unrest and stuff, and it's always people from out of town, mm-hmm. and you know, nobody knows who they are, and when they do, you know, when they're able to track a few of these people down, they have government connections. It's the same thing. I mean we know, for we can all agree, right, that the CIA goes into other countries and stirs up shit and overthrows people, and
sure, absolutely.
Okay, well, they is it not a little silly to think they don't do it here as well?
You do have a valid point there. I mean, mm-hmm. some people would disagree with you. They wouldn't think that our government would do that. There are people out there, because I've met them. And, you know, that's where they're at. You can't do anything about it.
Right.
You can't change their thinking. That's their stinking thinking. So it's up to them.
Right. Right. So it is. It's all about keeping people in an uproar and stuff like that. And you see, while this stuff is going on, there's already... while the immigration thing that was passed the other day, mm-hmm. and there's so much focus on that, but there's all these other really, and I'll talk about some of these on my show Friday, but there's some other really big things that there's some military acts and stuff that got passed in the last couple days that were not even talked about.
Yeah, because they take your focus off of one thing,
yes.
and put your focus of the people on another,
yes.
so they can do something else on the side without, you know, your
and
focus being on. I watch, you know.
It's because we're not informed, man. We're not an informed society. We're not. We're really not. There's so much going on. And that's why I'm talking about the lazy part. Okay,
yeah.
The lazy part doesn't mean, that's not a negative connotation. It's just, it's the conditioning of being lazy. How many of us here can actually say what's on the House bill resolutions right now? What's going on? What's on there? I mean, there may be one or two things.
Right, right.
You know, but on the average, how many of us really call our congressman and say, hey, what's going on up there? You know, or our senator, you know, they're supposed to respond. They're supposed to have an open door, you know, policy to us, because they're supposedly supposed to represent us. But you know, that's not true.
I've called and written and talked to my congressman before, but I don't do it as much as I should.
I know if you do like a mass like lettering, like they do respond to that kind of stuff. I know, I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
But there's also times where they just ignore it, because in the final end, they have the final say.
Mm-hmm.
They have the final decision, what's best for us versus what we think's best for us.
Right.
You see, and that's what's...
Then...
You know...
I wonder about sometimes all these different games and stuff, because I find myself, I have to, some of the games I have on my phone and whatnot, I got to put them down. And even Facebook, I haven't been on there as much as I used to be mm-hmm. on, because I find myself being hypnotized almost. There's a certain game that I play, I like to play, called Diamond Saga, or I was playing it in the car that one day, and you mm-hmm. all said it was
it was too loud. It was just loud.
Because it's like every time you get to another level or you do something, it's just like all this, you know, excitement that they have on there, and you're like, mm-hmm. I got to another level, and this was kind of hard to figure out, these puzzles. And once you, so it's just like you get mesmerized, or these, like the Candy Crush, and then there's a new Candy Crush soda and all that. Everybody's into these, let's put the little thingy in the hole and the thingy and slide mm-hmm. this way and slide it that way.
Right.
And then you see people, they're just, anywhere you go, you hear them, you know, you hear the games and you hear the things and you see them, down on their, everybody's looking down and texting and all kinds of stuff. And even in the temple, it's when I go to temple or when I go to churches, it's just like, can't you put that away for at least an hour or two and listen to what's going on? You know, be in the moment somewhere without looking. People are on their phones. They're like singing and dancing and praising the Lord.
And then
you see around several people are just down into their, you know,
what are you doing
into
at my church?
What they're doing on
their
cell phone.
Wanna watch?
You know, or got the earplugs in their ear. They're like, okay, I'm here, but I'm not here. You know, at least I'm here in body, but I'm engaged in what's on my smartphone. These smartphones are making people dumb.
We don't even fight a real war anymore. We just send like drones and stuff in there.
And that's one of the real meanings of all these astrological transits and stuff that are going on, is getting people grounded back into the present, into the reality, what's happening now, whereas all the distractions and stuff are meant to, you know,
keep people
because just like little sayings and stuff that, there's just little sayings that just kind of irk me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just like the, you know, oh, you know, I can't wait till it's Friday, or I can't wait until whatever holiday is coming up, or I can't wait until, and it's like you're constantly just like, well, I can't do anything today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like constantly trying to get you in the mindset of living stuck in the past or so focused on the future, so mm-hmm. that you're never here in this moment.
You're never present.
And it's like, I look forward to certain holidays and to weekends and things like that, but I try to, and not that I do a great job every day, but I still try to accomplish something or make some kind of difference every day. You know, and not just looking forward to some other time or mm-hmm. wishing your time away, as I like to say it.
The news they had, how many people are going to travel to their family's house, go spend the money, flights, gas, whatever, to go be with their family, and then once they get there, how many people are going to really engage, turn everything off,
right,
sit and engage with their family? And it was
just the fact of being there with family sometimes is enough for people to be around, you know, that.
Yeah,
similar. But you're right, though.
Yeah,
how many people are you? I don't know.
Plugged into the web or the net while they have just spent hundreds of dollars to go visit somebody, but they're not. They're there in body, but they're not going to be there,
right,
in the moment. You know, they're like challenging people to turn off everything, turn off all your gadgets and mm-hmm. everything when you're there with your family, and really be thankful and enjoy your family.
All right, folks. We're going to go to the break, and then we're going to come back, since it's Lunchtime Wisdom. We know what the situation is. Now, how do we change things? How do we approach things from a different point of view? Now we know one view. Let's go to another view. What the world could really look like, or how it really could be. All right, we're right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, in following your soul self.
Something like
that. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com. Your free online
publication
resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration.
What is this?
Explore daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories. Exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Feel the presence. Be in the moment.
Feel my presence.
Meditate.
Welcome back to Lunchtime Wisdom with Mark Matheny, Katie Singeneagle, and Iggy Garcia. We are here live, broadcasting in an unknown location, undisclosed, so the government can't find us.
Central Ohio.
We are off in the ocean.
In a secret warehouse.
Yeah, we're 50 miles off the ocean in Florida.
we could be hovering in space.
Yes, we could be.
800 feet below the surface of the Earth.
All right, now you
at
have a tie-in,
warehouse. Right? Yeah, okay. So Katie was kind of talking about the bigger picture stuff. Astrologically, here's kind of the theme right now, and then I'll show you some kind of examples of how the rulerships of these things kind of tie in. So two of the big themes for this year is Saturn has been in Scorpio. Saturn and Pluto have been a mutual reception, and the North Node has been in Libra. So what that's the dorky stuff.
In English.
So what that means? Yes, what that means. Saturn is the legal system. It's police, military.
Mm-hmm.
It's the status quo. Scorpio is the power structures. Now, Saturn is in Scorpio. Pluto is in Capricorn. So it's kind of the same theme. Those two planets they're not right now, but for much of the year they have been in mutual reception, meaning Saturn and Pluto are in the sign that the other one rules. Saturn rules Capricorn, but it's in Scorpio right now. Pluto rules Scorpio, but it's in Capricorn right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturn and Pluto are in the signs that the other one rules. So the two Capricorn-Scorpio archetypes, the Saturn-Capricorn, status quo, power structures, legal authority figures, police, military, the law, that's all Capricorn area. Pluto is breaking taboos, power structures, transformation, secrets, conspiracies. That's all Scorpio area. Now, the North Node, or called the North Node of the Moon, is in the sign of Libra. Libra is about achieving balance. It's about refocusing things that are out of whack, or reestablishing balance where there hasn't been balance, mm-hmm. and having fairness, fair play, you know, getting some equilibrium there.
Mm-hmm.
So how this is also, Scorpio and Capricorn are both feminine energies. So on October 23rd, we had a big thing where there was a new moon in Scorpio. The sun and the moon, and also the planet Venus, which is one of the main feminine archetypes,
mm-hmm.
and can be called, you know, Venus, the goddess, goes with the goddess, the feminine energy. They were all together at 0 degrees Scorpio, and there was an eclipse at that point. That's really rare to have. I mean, you have a sun-moon eclipse sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but at 0 degrees is unusual, and then to have Venus on top of it, that was really a rebirth of the feminine energy, and the elite, the powers that be, whatever you want to call them, are very well astrologically versed. So that's why this whole summer we saw demonizing of the feminine energy with all
mm-hmm.
the, you know,
mm-hmm.
the ISIS terrorist group and, you know, all this other stuff.
Yeah, and they called her ISIS. Yeah.
Right. And they've named all these asteroids and stuff that are heading towards us after Egyptian demons that were the enemies of ISIS. And all. I think I've gone into that stuff beforehand, but... You know, it's all been about demonizing the feminine energy. So just, I'm a bit of a news hound, so I scroll the newspaper. I don't watch a lot of, like, mainstream news, but I kind of check out the newspaper and see what's going on, then go to, like, real news sources. And
is the Russian Times.
Exact. Or alternative media.
Yeah, alternative
stuff,
media
so.
Is huge. You'd be surprised what you find on alternative media.
So what we're seeing now is balance needing to be with the Libra, Scorpio, Capricorn, we're seeing some balance needing to be reestablished in legal matters, in sexual gender matters, in race matters. And so with Pluto and Capricorn and Saturn and Scorpio, what you get is you get more extremes. There's more injustices happening, and at the same time, there's more people standing up against these injustices.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with the North Node being in Libra. You get more people, the out of balances become more apparent, and the need for balance therefore becomes more apparent. It can't be ignored anymore. So that's where we're seeing even though it may not be the people in Ferguson who are actually causing the trouble, you know, it's most likely government people that are sent in there. It's bringing out the need for justice in some areas. And it's saying just a couple of the articles, a couple of the interesting little news stories that I've seen, this, you know, we had the Bill Cosby thing. Mm-hmm. So again, there's a thing where someone, a big power authority, and I don't know if he's guilty or innocent, mm-hmm. but
you know,
a lot of people have, right, accused him of, you know, some sexual misconduct. And so then, you know, they're again keeping the Venus female mm-hmm. archetype and balance and justice. And then also another big story I've seen, the Dispatch has actually had a good couple articles this week on the universities across America are getting exposed because there's all kinds of rapes and mm-hmm. violent crimes and stuff, and they end up getting handled by the campus, the individual campus police, mm-hmm. instead of like real charges being filed in courts and stuff. And so there's people, and this is, there's many universities that are
angry,
covering their asses right now,
yeah,
because you know people are, these little committees are finding that these people at these different universities have been guilty of violence, of, you know, rapes, harassment, all this kind of stuff. And they're getting like, they're getting suspended for 2 months and having to write a paper. I mean, and just ridiculous stuff that people should get, you know, jail time for.
Yeah. And just like one of the directors at OSU, he inherited the problem, pretty much. He and then the new president that came in inherited the problem. Mm-hmm. So it's like one guy came in and then fired another guy who inherited a problem from things that's been going on for 20, 30 years. And the one, the band director was trying to stop and fix the problem, but he didn't get a chance to even do anything because he inherited, you know, he didn't have enough time to get the new structures in place. So, but someone, there's always has to be a scapegoat or a fall guy. Whenever something like this happens all over the United States, and if you notice, just like one of the people, the defense guy, person in charge of defense or something in the presidency, he just was made to resign. He was made to be the fall guy. There's always a scapegoat made in these big situations that go forth. So it's just like somebody has to be, and I'm sure they'll get a nice, and these people who are made to be sometimes, I'll say sometimes, not all the time, the people that are made to be the scapegoat, some of them get some nice severance packages, especially when they're working with like a government or a big university or something like that. So I'll step back quietly while, you know, I'll take the blame and step back quietly or try to. But then, you know, you have your people voicing. The people sometimes will rise up and say, hey, this is wrong. Something needs to be done here. This person is not really the guilty party. So, and that's good when people do rise up saying that everybody's not asleep. There are a few people out there that are awake and know what's really going on.
All right, speaking of asleep, so how do we get out of this type of stinking thinking as maybe one person at a time, but I mean, any suggestions? I mean, I don't want to leave people hanging and going, oh, wow, this is terrible. Life's crazy out there. We know that life's crazy. We understand that. So there's got to be ways to empower people, too, as well.
Right,
after,
well,
after the flames fall, after the buildings stop burning, you got to go back to some kind of a life.
There's always that saying, be the change that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Try to brighten your corner of the world. Somehow try to be, you see a problem, find a solution. Try to be the solution if you can. Go out and, you know, they've always had to pay it forward, pay it backwards. Try to do something positive for the higher good of society and the people around you.
So if you were the mayor of, let's say, little town Ferguson, I mean, what would you do? What would be one of your first things if you did to unify that whole community back together? I mean,
me, I'll ask
Mark the same thing.
I would want to, being the person that I am, I like to cook and I like to have gatherings and social things. I would try to get the people together, maybe have a big community festival or meal or something to bring camaraderie and solidarity to the
community.
Is that
before or after we do the cleanup together?
Facilitate the cleanup, and then while that, try to do something too positive for the community. And just the community, pretty much, without having a lot of outside people come in to, you know, if people want to volunteer that are, you know, good to come in and help. I don't know if there's some sort of screening or something, like, you know, there's certain organizations that you know are good people that will come in and help with the cleanup and help facilitate things. But then, you know, there's some that are just there for the money or there for the prestige or there to get their 15 minutes of fame.
Very good.
So it takes discernment and intuition.
Katie will feed the people.
I'm all
She's like JP's commercial. JP's ribs. We feed the people. How about you?
Okay. So first I want to finish up on that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Real quick on that, the thing with the universities.
Okay.
I don't think I think it's terrible what's been going on with people not getting punished for rapes and violent crimes and stuff. But I don't think it's a bad thing that this is coming out. I think this is a good example of the Saturn and Scorpio and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is great because it's being made aware, and now it can be changed instead of anything that operates, even just on an individual psychological level, anything that operates in the darkness in the background is going to be way more problematic than anything that's up front that you can see because you're not aware of it. Once these issues, I mean, I can see major reform, Saturn and Scorpio, Pluto and Capricorn, reform, transformation. I can see changes in how police forces of universities and stuff operate and how they're allowed to operate, how they're allowed to prosecute. Right. So I think that that's actually a good thing that that stuff is coming out. I don't see that as a negative. I think that's good that that's coming out into the light, that it's been a sham system for however many hundreds of years. Okay. Ferguson, Missouri. Hey, first, I'm going to give you a little bit of hidden information that is not known to the public, but it is it is correct. It is documented.
It's not really there.
But it's it is 100% fact. It's documented. You can back this up on your own research. But you have the police department, responds, or kind of part of that, are down the government chain, the city police department, stuff like that. However, did you ever wonder the difference between the police department and the sheriff's department?
There is a difference.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
There is a difference. The sheriff's departments of every locality across their laws are kind of based more kind of like in the Old West. Remember the Old West, we had sheriffs, we didn't have. So actually, the sheriff's departments do not really have that line of command up above them. If, let's just say the fecal matter hit the fan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff's department does not have to go along with what the government says. The sheriff's departments are their own jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy named Sheriff Mack who's written a couple good books and been to Columbus a few times. But the sheriff's departments are kind of our last line of defense because they don't have to do what they're told. The sheriff's departments kind of have their own jurisdiction and a different set of rules that they have to abide by. So, if I was in Ferguson, Missouri, if I was the mayor or whatnot, first thing I do is I take anyone who is a federal agent or any federal government person or anyone who's not a member of the Ferguson Police Department or the Sheriff's Department for that area, and I escort them to the border, and I tell them to get out and don't come back. I don't care. I don't care. Having tanks and stuff there and guys in black military outfits with that's instigating.
Special ops.
That's not, we don't need special ops or people from Blackwater or other. First thing, if you're not a citizen here or part of the paid police forces of that area, get the hell out of my town. That's mm-hmm. the first. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Get everyone not directly involved out of here.
Mm-hmm. Check ID.
And that goes back
people.
To what you were saying. To get, you know.
Get anybody that's
get
not a member
the highway
of Ferguson
patrol is like that
out
too.
Of that city.
Yes. Yes.
Check IDs. You should have an ID saying if you belong to that city or not.
Right. So.
But this is America. You're allowed
so
to go anywhere
would,
you want.
Right. So, but the first thing is to get the
right
the non-local military. I don't know about the checking individual people.
I mean,
right.
we're talking about federal.
I'm
yeah.
talking
yeah.
about right. I'm
yeah.
talking about on
okay.
the
now. Here's the thing.
Enforcement
you talked about
side.
Instigators that were brought in, and well, sometimes their own leadership instigates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sat there and I watched some of these guys instigating, you know, and rousing the people up a little bit. You know, they have to have some kind of accountability too. You know, for creating this mess.
Oh, absolutely.
There's been people who said we should have a peaceful solution, and there's other people like we should take it to the streets. You know, I mean, so it's kind of like, you know, it's a fine gray space line. You know, you're right there.
Right. So I mean, you know, I think.
You think the government may use an Al Sharpton type? Hey, go over there and cause problems. You think Al Sharpton would do that?
They've already done that in Ferguson.
No, but I'm just saying. But you know,
I don't think it's even an Al Sharpton type. I think it was actually Al Sharpton. Exactly.
And I know I understand what their leaders are trying to do, and I understand they're trying to defend. But I'm going to say it like this: not all Hispanics like all Hispanics, and not all Black people like all Black people, and not all White people like all White
true,
people.
True. True.
So,
right.
So this crap that we have to be unified because we're Black or because we're Hispanic or because we're White and we're a minority—that's the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
And I hate to say
exactly.
that, you know, but exactly. it's true.
I'm mixed up, and I don't like all mixed up people.
Right.
People are just people, you know. I mean, I've been
yeah.
around. I'm a minority, but I'm actually a majority.
Yeah, I'm considered Black, though.
You know,
so
but
I don't like all Black people either.
Yeah, I mean, there's some Hispanic people that won't even talk to me, you know, because I'm from Peru or I'm too white Peruvian,
right?
Too white Native American, you know. And that's where the problem is. We're teaching our kids these things, but people just don't like people. You're allowed not
right.
to like somebody if you don't
right,
you
yeah.
don't jive with somebody. Then you just don't jive with them. And I think that's the thing is we try to force feed people. Oh, we all have to stick together, you know, and we all have to go down the ship. I'm not going down the ship. If you want to go down the ship, you have fun with it.
Right.
You know?
Our group that we hang in, we're such an eclectic group. We've got Black, white, Hispanic, Native American.
Peruvian.
You know, everything, you know, Peruvian. We got this. There's a couple of, like, even a little guy from India that comes to our drum circle every
mm-hmm.
so often. And
crows, rabbits, eagles.
Yeah. Animals.
And pandas.
And pandas.
So we're very an eclectic and motley type crew. So
very motley.
We, you know, and we love each other. I
yep.
would take a bullet for either one of
yep.
you guys. You
same
know?
Here. Same here.
That's the way I feel. So, but, and I used to grow up, and I don't consider myself prejudiced. I never did until I went and lived in New York for 7 years. Then I saw just how prejudiced my little Midwestern mentality was, and I had to change.
Mm-hmm.
Even, gosh, I grew up in a mixed area, mixed school, mixed neighborhood, and then sometimes I got around certain groups of people. They wanted to make me feel comfortable by acting a certain way, and I would look at them or talking a certain way, and I was like, can you please speak in regular everyday English so I can
mm-hmm.
understand what you're saying? You don't have to act a certain race or try to make me feel comfortable by acting something because I don't understand that, especially when I was, and I did not really see prejudice in my life until I went to college
mm-hmm.
at BGSU, Bowling Green State University, back
mm-hmm.
in 81. I went there from 81 through 84.
Go Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the school, but I didn't really see prejudice until I went to school there. And there was like 25,000 students at the time, I think, and only 2,300 of them were minority students. That included Black and Hispanic, and they put us in special classes. They offered my mom, I was in regular stuff because nobody knew of my of my racial heritage, because when I filled out my paperwork, I didn't put that I was a certain race or another race. I just put, I always checked other or something like that. And then once they found out, oh, this is a black child. And even people didn't know what, by looking at me, they didn't know if I was black or white or whatever, because I used to wear my hair straight and some other little different things. And plus I was on a swim team, and no black person was ever on a swim team or the sports that I was in. And it was all, you know, and then they offered my mom another special scholarship or something if I were to go to these development classes. Here I was with a 5.0 average, got into school on my own merits, and they wanted to put me backwards. Because, okay, my mom took the special scholarship because it was money she didn't have to pay, you know, which I can see because the school was expensive. But when I got into the classes, they were remedial math, reading, English classes that were beneath me, and I had to fight. I got straight A's in those classes, and I had to fight to let me get out of these after being in them. I'm like, can I transfer back to my other classes? Because this was dumbing me down. This wasn't college for me when I was in there. And I got transferred back to the regular English, math, whatever classes. I had problems with math because I was dyslexic. But I learned to overcome those things by just having extra tutors, not by putting me in some remedial crap.
Good.
And I learned today that they don't do that anymore at that school, and that the school has over 50,000 students now and has a better situation. But that's because those of us that were there at that time fought and had peaceful demonstrations and different things in order to make those changes come about. So that's my soapbox. But it helped me, you know, different things helped me to see
the Shoeshine Gang,
you know, prejudice, right, and where my things were and how I could fight back against certain things. It's like setting healthy limits and boundaries. I didn't allow myself to be prejudiced, you know, because
don't people have prejudice?
Probably still have some prejudice. There's, you know, maybe certain groups or certain things I don't like
certain
about
things
people.
Just certain things that turn you off because you're not familiar with it, you don't have any point of reference to it. It's just a whole different culture, a whole different way of being. And so we put all that into effect. We put that and we apply that to our lives, to their lives, and then we bring it back to us, and we're like, well, it doesn't fit. That's
one
right.
Thing,
one of these things belongs together.
Right.
I mean, they teach us all this stuff.
Right.
You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
They condition us since we were little, you know. They put four little black kids and one little white kid. One of these things belongs
right.
Yeah, so, I mean, why they do that, you know? On Sesame Street, I see them do that stuff. I'm like, they all belong together, you know?
Somehow karma works, though. I was working in the cafeteria at that school at the time, and because they put us minority kids in lower jobs, and I hate to say that, but that's how it was back then, 1981, 1982, and the manager of that, he was this prissy guy whose mom ran this cafeteria, and he worked, and he got everything because he was a mama's boy, and it was a generational thing. And one day, in front of everybody, I kind of got mad about something, and I complained about it in front of a group of people because I was always taught, if you're going to do something, do it and have some witnesses. And the guy got mad and called me a little nigger girl in front of those people. And I said, oh, no, you didn't. I said, I'm going to call my mother. I called my mother, and guess what? So my mom would not the pants off of the school. They gave me another scholarship for the next year to have my tuition paid for, because I could have, if my mom would have sued, I would have had free tuition. They should have gave me free tuition for the whole 4 years of my schooling. My schooling should have been paid for, but because that guy, but he got fired.
Yeah, words are hurtful, you know. Words, people say sticks and stones may break my bones, and words will never hurt me. But words do hurt.
And that hurt back then, because
sure
I was
does.
A
it probably
you
hurts
know,
still now a
little.
Little
yeah, because I was I didn't consider myself really a minority, so to speak, at the time. But that charged me to join the Black Student Union and start working against some of the bad things that were happening at the time at the school, which are no longer hopefully happening now in, what, like 30, 40 years later. So, because I was only 17, 18 at the time. I went to school at age 17, and I think, you know, through there, 17, 18.
Yeah, we live in these little boxes for long periods of time, then we start venturing outside of our little boxes.
Yep.
We start to meet other people who come out of their little boxes, and mm-hmm. they bring their ideals and their beliefs out of their little boxes. The next thing you know, all the people who have similar ideals from their little boxes kind of commingle together, and then that's, you know, kind of what happens, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at it, too, as... Well, it's interesting, too. We just had, like, the Sun just entered Sagittarius, and so did Venus and a couple other planets. So it's like... Sagittarius kind of rules the big picture, and it kind of rules like how we put our belief system together. And so I kind of, we have all these. Let's say you take your belief system of how the world is and how everything works. Let's say there's, I don't know, let's say there's 20 different categories. I'm just making up a number.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have, you know, when you're young, when you're little, you start, you know, you come in, you. Set up kind of, you start setting up your belief systems, what you think is real, how reality works, and whatnot. And then you go through each, you know, every once in a while, things happen, and you kind of like, oh, you know, my belief system for category number 6 seems out of whack, you know, whether it's
mm-hmm.
on racial stuff or nutrition or whatever, science, whatever. And so it's like every once in a while you're asked to examine certain different parts of your belief system, and you find things that are like, you know, maybe like we're all kind of more spiritually inclined here, so we pay a lot of attention
to
that
now.
Stuff.
I don't know, maybe we probably weren't at one point.
Right, absolutely. So it's like you find, I mean, even in myself, I mean, I'm always analyzing
mm-hmm.
stuff and even always analyzing stuff about myself, but sometimes I've, like, you know, it's like... Area number 12 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, I haven't really examined that in 20 years or something. And you find like these kind of glaring inconsistencies or discrepancies. And it's like sometimes a person shows up in your life or an event or something that asks you to kind of, I mean, imagine on your laptop there, if you've got, say you've got 20 programs that run on it, and you know, you always get asked to update, you know, your antivirus needs updated,
mm-hmm.
your Microsoft Office needs updated, your,
mm-hmm.
you know, imagine if you had a couple of those systems that hadn't been updated in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it doesn't flow together with your whole view of reality. So it's like, you know, like we all have like these kind of blind spots, even
mm-hmm.
though I know just yesterday I was having a couple conversations about, you know, even some really spiritual people have some really huge blind spots
mm-hmm.
on stuff. And so do I. And I, you know, I can't name what mine are offhand, or it wouldn't be a blind spot, would it?
Right.
Something will come up to show me or to ask me to look
but
at
people sure do see
some
our
part
spot,
of my, right.
People see us like,
right.
We can point out. Yes.
But some event will come up.
Let me get that log out of your eye, okay?
Right, right. But some event will come up that will ask me to re-examine
sure.
some part of my belief system or my view of reality that really doesn't match or fit me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like we're constantly being kind of asked to update our system and our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Update, download.
Right, because we all have like there's things like, well, I learned this when I was 9 and nothing's really come up since then that has affected me. So, you know, and then something does, you're like, wow, I'm still like really, you know, I'm still really stupid in that area, you know?
Hold that thought. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Welcome welcome back to With Insights Radio. It's Lunchtime Wisdom. We're just kind of chatting along here and just talking about, you know, current events a little bit, things that are going around the world, how they affect us, how they don't affect us, but how they play out and how we see them and how we experience them. That's kind of what we've been sharing. We've given a little bit of, you know, insights on what, how we see the world and how the world sees us, maybe, mm-hmm. in a certain way. And sometimes it's in a positive light, sometimes it's not. You know, it's how we react or respond to the situations we're put into. So it's super important to, just got to know how to flow, I guess. It's one mm-hmm. of the big things. Life is, life could be very joyful and very fun, even if you don't have a lot of money. You know, even if you don't have a lot of family, especially now we're going to the holidays. We have people who are, necessarily, you know, find it the most pleasant time. And then other people who are just ecstatic and totally enjoying it.
Wait, word.
Yeah?
It can be joyful, and I like to see people enjoy the holiday.
Yeah, and I think, how do we enjoy the holiday? This is a good way here in the next segment of our show. How to enjoy the holidays without giving yourself away?
Well,
Without giving yourself away?
Yes, giving yourself away.
Holiday, okay, here's a take that I want to make to people. Holiday means holy days. Mm-hmm. And there's many people in many cultures and religions that are celebrating their holy days at this season of the year. And a lot of the religions and everything kind of coincide and correlate and go along with each other if someone were to study those things, which people are usually too lazy to do so. But it's holy days, and it takes nothing away from Christmas. It takes nothing away from other Hanukkah. It takes nothing away from Kwanzaa or whatever else holidays are going on. And when people say happy holidays, they are just saying happy holy days, which mm-hmm. they're kind of incorporating all the holidays that are coming about at this time of the year. So some people are like, they get their panties and knickers in a bunch because people don't say Merry Christmas a lot mm-hmm. anymore, or Happy this or Merry that. Just Happy Holidays is just being
inclusive. I think people
inclusive.
Just don't want to, yeah, right, they don't want to offend anybody. You know, you may not believe, for some people, you know, Santa Claus isn't real. I know people who don't talk to their kids about Santa Claus. Because,
oh, my God.
And they'll say, no.
I love Santa Claus.
They'll say, Iggy, we don't believe in Santa Claus, and we don't want to fool our kids, you know, into believing in something.
It's a concept.
I'm going to tell the Easter Bunny that you said Santa Claus wasn't real.
I didn't say it was me.
It was someone else.
I said someone else.
It's the spirit of Santa Claus, the spirit of Saint Nick.
They pretty much told me, if you believe in Jesus Christ, there is no Santa Claus. I'm like,
there
okay.
was a real like, Santa Claus, and the spirit still lives on.
They said he was a pagan holiday. Christmas.
All of it's pagan.
It is, yes.
Every
Christmas.
Every single thing, if people were to study it out,
yes.
All of it's pagan.
100% fact. Yeah, Christmas is actually a Druid holiday.
Yeah, they're throwing things at me.
Christmas is actually a Druid holiday, uh-huh. and that is why, what's one of the main symbols of Christmas other than Santa Claus?
Christmas tree.
Christmas tree, Druids.
Yeah.
Worship trees. That's
and
why we have
scripture
the
says, do
Christmas
not
tree.
Bring trees and decorate them into your house. So every Christian out there who has a Christmas tree in their house is going against scripture.
Yes, you're all going to hell.
Not saying you're going to hell.
No, I'm just
I said
joking.
You're just going against scripture. So, you know, even the cross that's supposed to be the cross of Christ is not really. The cross, they studied with other religions, they studied it out. It all coincides together with the will of the year, with the medicine wheel, with other people that celebrated the sun god, with so many different religions have the cross as their symbol, or the circle in the cross. So it's just like all
right.
religions are basically the same when you come down to brass tacks.
Right. Yeah, but we got to do it differently.
Right.
We got to put a branch in our house. and decorate it versus a Christmas tree.
Happy Festivus.
Right, but that was... Right, but no, but that's a,
excuse me. Woo, got caught on that one.
But that's a perfect example. Even looking to where Christmas is, you break it down, it's Christ Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And so even, like you were saying, I mean, that's traditionally how things work, is one government or religion, whatever, is in control. Then another country comes in, takes it over, keeps the same holidays because those are things that people can establish or can relate to, but they just change the names and demonize the previous, like you said about, you know, the Bible saying that it's not right to bring, you know, that's obviously a poke at the Druids that started Christmas, so they have to kind of demonize it.
Even
and then,
the thing with...
But keep the same traditions and stuff and the same dates. They just...
Yeah, Jesus was born like in April. He was born around Easter, West Easter now, instead of really...
He was born in...
December. So they just brought it in to coincide with all the other holidays. The fathers that be, the council that started the whole thing.
The
so
Council of Nicaea.
That's a whole other study and everything.
Do you know how many
done.
Arguments I've gotten into with astrologers on about Jesus' birthday?
And the three kings were three stars. And
yes,
the star in the
Jupiter
east was
and,
another star.
Yeah.
But there were three, there were princes and people that came from other countries to welcome in the Christ child, but they all came at they came at different times of the year. They didn't come all at once to visit him in a nativity or manger. The nativity is a whole star chart, not the little manger scene. So that's a whole nother thing that when you get into theology, when you get into study of history, when you get into study of the star charts and the study of all that, people will find all that out that they've been, their preacher in a pulpit somewhere has, and then the people who made up, I won't say made up, but put together, there's certain scriptures that were put together to be a certain way for certain different kings.
Yes.
Called King James and other people to make it the way they wanted the people to know it, not the way it actually was written and from the Greek and Hebrew and Torah and all that. People that have the Torah and original scriptures got a whole different story. So
reminds me of Book of Mormon.
Agreed.
if you ever seen that,
I want to.
It's
so,
really good.
So a lot of people out there have been given a bell of goods.
Yeah.
And they just believe it and keep going and passing it from generation to generation to generation, just blind jumping off the bridge and drinking the Kool-Aid.
That was the whole premise of the Book of Mormon, the Broadway musical Book of Mormon. One guy was kind of like, didn't know how to explain scripture, so he just kind of did it with like Star Wars characters and Darth Vader and Frog. He just made it up.
So this
he created his own
year,
religion, you know?
Yeah.
There are, historically, if you go back and look at religions, there are 38 religions that predate Christianity that have the Holy Trinity, a Savior born of a Virgin Mother, who was martyred, rose on the third day, the whole exact story, but with different names. There are 38 religions older than Christianity, same exact story.
And even talking
names.
About this gives me goosebumps. Because it boils down to your, not a religion, it boils down to your spirituality. There are, a lot of these stories are true in one way or the other, but it's just like having a relationship with your higher being, your higher self. The creator of the universe, the divine, tapping into...
Right.
Because I believe there is a God, and I've seen so many miracles in my life and other people's lives, not to not believe, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Right. No, absolutely. And I totally believe that there's a force out there, you know, there's an energy out there that we all come from and whatnot. And I try not to get too attached to names and... You know, mental, you know, we picture God as this old guy with a white beard sitting on a throne, or Jesus is this guy with, you know, looks like Iggy a little bit and stuff. I try not to get attached to names and, you know,
Iggy.
Images that are just paintings passed down for 3,000 years and stuff. I try
and some
to
of
just...
those paintings were paintings of a king. He had himself painted and put up as, this is how Jesus looks. He looks like me, you know.
Right.
Like the Borgias or some right. like one of the Borgias, that one picture that everybody sees that they think is Jesus, is actually a Borgia, one of the Pope's kids. Illegitimate kid at that.
Oh, what's wrong with illegitimate kids?
I mean,
nothing
the popes used to have plenty of mistresses and children and all that. The forefathers who made the council, who made the church, who built the church, they were married and stuff, and they said now Pope, priests and stuff can't marry. They can go around and molest children, but they can't marry. So
yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think they would.
I don't know. I don't. I mean, I've read history and did my studies, but I don't want to just, you know, say that against them, because there's a lot of people that have their thing and they believe and they want to stay blind. So
they have a picture. My son put a picture of Jesus by the door. There's a little
Jesus.
And I told my my mother, I'm like, oh, that goes. I go, who's that? She goes, oh, it's Jesus. I said, that's not Jesus. That's European Jesus, you know?
Jesus was a Middle Eastern Jewish guy.
I said, Jesus is a dark-skinned dude, man.
Yeah, he was
brown. Let me color that in with the pencil.
Right.
Yeah. And I seen one where your dad had the saint, one of the saints who was actually...
A black saint?
Yeah.
Saint Martin de Porres.
So that was that. If someone looked like more like Jesus or a saint... I like that picture. You know, Dante had bought it for your mom.
Well, San Martín de Porres he's a saint from Peru.
Peru.
He actually never left Peru, but was in all over the world. He was in all the African countries helping Africans and people. And then he was one of his miracles that he could move. Like he could teleport himself physically to all these places and be there. And he could lay on hands and heal you.
Mm-hmm.
He could actually touch you and heal you during the wars and during the battles and stuff. They would call on him to lay hands on people and heal them. And then his other miracle was that he got all the animals to drink from one bowl together. Cat, I think, a dog, and a mouse. They were all communing together around that's one of the pictures that's in if you see the little saint stamps that they had, a little,
mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, and there's a couple other things he did too, I don't know, but those are the most ones that people remember and share all the time.
Yeah, just like, I'm not telling people to put away their faith, but to be wise at what's being told to them.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in God. Believe in the divine. Believe in the universe. That there's a higher source out there that helps us, because there is. But just be mindful of what you're being taught on a day-to-day basis. There is scripture that says study yourself, and that's what I advise people to do when I'm teaching. I'm a minister of the gospel, been one since I was about 16 years old, and I have always advised people, as I was advised, to study for myself and find truth for myself and have a personal relationship with Spirit myself. So that's what I suggest people do.
And I think, you know, Jesus just reflects back to us what we want to see too.
Mm-hmm.
So when if you believe in Jesus, you know, well, I'll have to go there. You know, if you see Jesus in your mind, you know, Jesus will probably look white, Chinese, Oriental, you know, black, alien. Who knows?
Right.
You know, he'll just look however. There was a movie, I don't know if you guys remember, years ago. I don't know if it was in the 70s or 80s, but it was about these Martians that came.
Mm-hmm.
And they can change their form to what you want them to look like or think. There was this one scene where this guy was in a church and he wanted Jesus to come back, and one of the Martians turned into Jesus, like, and he was like bleeding and suffering. And the guy was like, he thought it was Jesus. He goes, no, I'm not Jesus, but you manifested me into this. They can manifest these Martians.
Mm.
Into it. It was a really cool movie. I forget what it was called, but it was one of those interesting. It was on TV, I think.
Mm. Okay. I'd like to see that, if you could think of the name.
Yeah, hopefully somebody can remember that, because it was a long-running show. I don't know if it was a long-running show, but it was one of those shows that it was really cool like that.
Was it like V or
no, it wasn't
Alien Nation? Or
no, it wasn't Alien Nation. It was something else. It was a little bit older than those.
Okay, a little more recent. Okay.
No, older. I mean, back.
Right. Oh, back.
Lost in Space days and stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of... I remember being a young guy watching it, so...
Okay, so it was probably in the 70s, late 70s.
You know, maybe early 80s. But the show was cool because they would, like... these aliens came and they were just like... They could manifest into these things that people wanted them to be. And I just remember that one part, you know, how we just met... the guy who manifested Jesus and the alien was like, I can't handle this, you know, it's too much, you know.
Hmm.
And I don't know why they were doing that and why they would... They were like changelings or shapeshifters
okay.
types. So it was a really interesting movie. It was a good show. I have to hunt it down. Hopefully maybe one of our listeners will remember that
show.
Yeah,
there's just like shapeshifters and stuff. Those things are, I saw someone shapeshift in front of me not too long ago. Oh, that was eerie. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Our friend Brian here, Four Rivers, he says there's long traditions that Jesus was redheaded, which is not a strange thing, I guess, in Lebanon and Palestine, as you might
yeah,
think.
Yeah, there's
so.
A lot of redheads out there.
Jesus was a ginger.
Red curly-haired men.
That's pretty cool. Brian, are you saying that because you got red hair?
So what was your original question about the holidays?
I think we got there. How we survive the holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, how we survive the holidays.
So how do you survive the holidays? So what would you do? I mean, the first thing that I would do, instead of going in there with a negative attitude, maybe you'd go in there and prep yourself, talk to yourself a little bit. You know, like you're going to go to a room of people that you haven't seen for a while, and you know they're kind of a butts sometimes to you. And, you know, breathe, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And say hello, you know.
Hello.
Yes. I have to totally put myself in the moment and separate every, because this is always a really chaotic and or sad week for me. So I have to really, and overwhelming a lot of years, so I have to really just like shut everything out, mm-hmm. and kind of just break everything down into, okay, what do I have to do on this day to get through it, and then the next day, and sit.
One day at a time, one hour at a time.
This week has always just kind of symbolized chaos for me.
So what do you do? What would you give the listeners here? What kind of advice would you give them about coping with the holidays?
Yeah, I mean, it's just take it one
moment.
Right, one moment, and I just try to focus on being able to reconnect with the people that maybe you just see once a year or whatnot. And I just try to shut every, because there's a lot of chaos and distractions, mm-hmm. week in particular. So I just
just like we always tell people, set your healthy limits and boundaries. Don't let people define you by old scripts,
yep.
if you can help it, because some of them will. And try to be happy and be yourself. Try to be happy no matter what, and engage and love your family. Just be loving and kind and respectful as much as you can, and engage the people in your family and all. It's like I'm looking forward to the Garcia family is having something, a dinner potluck on Thursday evening. I'm looking forward to that. During the day, I'll go visit my cousin, one of my cousins, a close cousin of mine who's like a sister. She invited me to come over, so I'm going to go over there. And sometimes I go visit with friends, because my family is kind of scattered. My dad, who is still alive, he'll go with his wife's family, which I always feel like an outsider there, because I cannot...
Right.
engage with people, so I stopped going to there. I'm always invited, but I kind of feel like an outsider there. And some of my friends, my best friend, they're going to go to the boathouse or whatever. There's a big $30 buffet or something there, so they're going to go there.
Cool.
And if they don't cook, and I've been invited to go there with them if they go there, but then I'm like, sit in front of a, you know, big buffet, crowded people who mm-hmm. don't want to cook and all that. It's like, ugh.
I always feel bad for the people who are working there. Sometimes they want to be there, but most of the time you can tell they don't want to be there.
Right.
Damn, here's your macaroni.
I've done that before. They have a very
out of roast beef.
They have a very nice spread and stuff there, because it's a lot of, you can't eat $30 worth of food. I can't say. I mean, right. Some people can. They'll sit there for hours and go back and forth and back and forth.
I don't know if I want to eat $30 worth of food.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just can't see myself doing that. I'd rather just, you know, because me, I take a tablespoon. I'm a big person, but I eat small. So my thing is take a tablespoon of everything, eat what's on my plate, maybe wait another hour or so, and maybe eat a little bit more. or just eat one meal and be done with it. So there was a time when I could go back and forth and stuff myself, but I don't do that anymore. Even though to look at me, people think I might, if someone's, I always have to tell people who are serving my plate, if they serve my plate, please just give me a little, give me about half of what you may eat.
So you get that prejudice then. All big girl coming.
I mean, I've
had you're gonna eat everything.
Yeah,
huh?
They give me big spoons of stuff and, or cut me a big slice of cake or something, and I'm less like, that's just too much food. You know, it can be funny too. They see a big person. I've gone to buffets with you all before, and how do I? Y'all know.
No,
what?
You're brilliant. You don't eat like crazy.
Yeah, because I'm one of those people who I look at food and I gain weight. So, and then my stomach is really small.
I've seen little people eat loud.
One of our friends, she can eat three times as much as me, and she's tall and kind of thin. And I'm like, where do you put it? You must have got an extra pouch towards the back somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and she's tall and thin, and I'm short and pudgy, fat. So it's just like, why, Lord? Why did I get this burden? But hey, everybody has to have, you know.
And I think
their thing.
When situations arrive, maybe during the holidays, people bring up old things.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always bring up things that are
the old scripts.
The old scripts that you're talking about who you were then versus who you are now, or how you've changed and where you're at now versus where you had been before. You know, it's kind of like that little story over and over.
They want to keep you at a certain place where they're comfortable.
Sure, and but you know, some people, some families, they grow and they move on from that. You know, from that stuff. So. That's it, Tom.
No, it's just funny you say that, because I want to phrase this well, which I rarely ever do. yeah, it's one of the problems with the holidays is you get stuck, foot in mouth already. You end up having to navigate around choosing every word very wisely here. A lot of people that it may be kind of overly stuck in the 3D reality. And so it can be very, it can be difficult sometimes to, because that's, let's face, I mean, we were going to keep this positive, weren't we? Oh, well.
You're fine.
So, here's my freaking problem with Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Is you have to be in the car all day and stuffing yourself constantly, or else somebody's pissed at you. There, I've said it. That's why I don't like Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Well, somebody's always pissed off at you, and you do nothing. It's almost like it's a 16-hour driving marathon, and still somebody's always mad at you. That's why I don't like Thanksgiving.
Well, here's the cool. Cool thing about it is that my family's like all scattering. My brother's in Tennessee with his family.
Gatlinburg.
And my sisters are over there. So when you know, it's kind of like my dad, and my mom. I just kind of hang out with them and all my friends.
Right.
We do that big dinner every year.
And nobody bothers anybody on you didn't try Aunt Martha's stuffing or you. I've never stuffing.
I love oyster stuffing.
You know,
invite me Aunt Martha's. I love oyster stuff.
Or, you know, you didn't drink the eggnog. I don't know
what's
in
eggnog. Eggnog is weird.
I like eggnog.
They put rum in
that,
eggnog.
Right?
They put rum in that?
You
cognac.
Can put,
my,
you should put
aunt
rum in that.
My full of cognac. I mean, they would always tell us kids, don't drink, here's the eggnog for the kids.
That's the worst thing you
could
tell
the eggnog
a kid.
Don't tell the kids, don't drink
the. Yeah, that's the worst
don't
thing.
Don't tell them, because we're going to drink it.
little tip if you want to go a little bit cheaper, something really good with eggnog is like blackberry brandy or like apricot brandy. Even, you know what, the $6 or $7 like Meyer bottle of brandy is pretty good.
He's got his hands folded. He's like, that's
okay.
Good. You want some
eggnog? I tried that eggnog. Someone had eggnog at the last drum circle. Oh, it was called Evans and something. It was in a bottle. That was some good eggnog. One sip had my head spinning.
Really?
That's a good cold weather drink. Cause it kind of warms you up, you know. I like
Yeah, you put a little more nog than egg.
All right, some closing thoughts. What do you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, now that I've ruined Thanksgiving for everyone, I guess I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
And
appropriate.
Bastard rabbit.
Just like, think of all the things that you were thankful for. That's basically what it's about in today's day and age. Nobody is pretty much the history of it and all that, but just be thankful for your blessings and what you do have, and the blessings, the things that you're able to do on a daily basis, and the family and people in your life, no matter if they get on your nerves or not, or if you eat their food or not. Just be thankful that they're still there, because I lost quite a few people in my family not too long ago, and I miss them. So just be thankful for family and friends and being together.
Yeah,
that's what makes this week hard for me, too. So, yeah, you know, I feel lucky to have so many awesome people around me.
For those of you who want some tips on how to survive the holidays, later on today on my Iggy's blog at iggygarcia.com, you can go there and you have some tips how to survive, so you can check it out. So where can we find you online?
www.markmetheny.com, or you can find me on Facebook. It's M-E-T-H-E-N-Y, all E's, just in case.
Very good. Katie?
LDYCAT41 at Gmail. I'm on Google Plus. Katie Mack on Google Plus. Katie Mack on YouTube. And Katie Singing Eagle on Facebook.
You can probably find my picture at like various post offices and police stations throughout the country as well, if you're wanting to.
People are going to believe you. They're going to start believing. They're going to go, it's Mark. And then Mark will bring a picture.
What's the reward for the wabbit?
Oh, mine is Katie with a C. Not a K, but a C.
Let's change our name. Katie with a C, Matheny with an E.
And I'm Iggy with an Y.
Iggy with a Y.
Not an I at the end. It's still Iggy, however you turn it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Whether you
I, E, and Y were the bad vowels. We'll call ourselves the vowel movement.
The vowel. With that, I want to say everybody, we had a good time. That was perfect. Perfect ending. Much love. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll be back. Maybe we'll have a Thursday special or something. I don't know. We'll see. It's still in the works. But
special guest Friday, too.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a show. You have a show Friday.
We have maybe two special guests.
You have the Victoria Fuzzbottom Gang's coming.
And possibly another.
Oh, you got three now?
Two. Victoria Fuzzbottom and...
And her assistant.
And her assistant.
Yeah.
Broadcast from the...
From the Waskley Wabbit Hole.
From the corner of High and Hudson.
And then we have...
From the corner of Uranus.
Ananda.
Analyze it.
That's right. And we have Mark at 11 a.m. on Friday. And then Mutto at midnight. At midnight. Friday.
Midnight.
Hopefully hence the name Mutto at midnight.
Yeah.
Mutto.
Hence to, yes.
Mm. If he wanted to mess people up, he could go on at 1.
Yeah. Probably.
Have you ever been with a Sasquatch?
Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Be grateful for all things in your life. We love you, and we'll see you soon. Take care. My gang here, I think they're hungry. All right. Much love. Over and out. Bye.
Bye-bye.